And like you, I've heard all the jokes about my husband, like how when he gets up in the morning, he stares and he stares and he stares at that orange juice can because it says concentrate.
I tell you, sweetie pie, it's hard work being the president. It's hard work presidenting. It's hard work. That's why I need help. All kinds of help from great people like my advisor, Karl Rove, talking to me in that little pack on my back. And of course, nice folks like that Ann Coulter, scaring people into pulling for me on TV.
Well, that's right. Well, honey, why don't you get out there and tell these nice folks in the audience why you deserve another term as president?
Okay. I got the votes for another term, just like the right wing prayed. I got 4 more years to try to fix the mess that I made. 9 a.m., I am at my desk, and it's all work and no play. And it's tough sometimes, I even work some Saturdays. I work hard for the country, hard work running countries. I work hard for the country and I'll move this country right.
He works hard for the country, don't make that much money. He works hard for the country,
sometimes I even work at night.
You might think that the deficit
or those terrorism foes
were issues to decide the campaign, but not those.
Thanks to voters with moral stance that rather have him bomb Iran than be forced to watch two gay dudes holding hands.
I work hard for the country,
hard work running countries. No one's home in the attic, but we're leaving on the light.
And though it is true, there have been some bad times.
Bad times.
I'm telling you, those were the good times.
Good times.
So don't make the trek and move to Quebec, cause we'll bomb their next.
He works hard for the country,
you know I'm a fighter.
He works hard for the country and we are on the right path.
I work
hard for the country,
I'll be a uniter. I can't be a divider, cause I'm not that good
at math.
Thanks for returning to Great Speeches and Interviews on Access Sacramento and The Voice. I'm Steve Lerman, and we're continuing with 6 people debating the motion, it's wrong to pay for sex.
And
question
because,
from the right
just,
side.
Just because the chimps can provide an explanation doesn't mean that it's right.
The questioner is over on the far right here.
My question to you is a simple one. Is it okay to buy a 20-year-old woman if that woman entered prostitution as a 4-year-old, a 10-year-old, a 12-year-old?
Probably not. There are plenty of cases, as I'm more than willing to admit, where what goes on is wrong. But again, look at the resolution. The key point is that there are diverse practices and multiple worlds. What you're finding from the other side is to take a woman in a difficult situation, choosing her best option. I'm saying blame the difficult situation. They're saying blame the best option. It's a very simple choice. Which one are you going to blame?
We're talking Melissa about Farley. The evidence of harm here. And the evidence of harm, I think the other side has just conceded the debate. If it's wrong to prostitute someone who was a child when they entered prostitution, then what we know, and there's no argument about these numbers, is that in the vicinity of 75 to 85 or 90% of everyone in prostitution entered prostitution as a legal minor. That's a fact.
Sydney Barrows.
When she says that's a fact, that may be a fact with respect to the people who have been interviewed. But you have to remember that the people who were interviewed for this sort of thing are a great minority. They are the ones that are in the most trouble. And so they're the ones that these people get to talk to and to interview. And I'm not debating that these people have horrible problems. But to take a small minority and to apply their problems to the majority is just wrong.
Catherine McKinnon.
Yeah, this research has been very carefully designed so that they really are a representative sample of people at all levels, at all class divisions in the industry. What's being described by Ms. Barrows is research she doesn't know. And the PTSD rates don't vary according to class level, is the other thing to remember. What we're talking about is people whose human rights are being violated. The vast majority of people in the sex industry, somebody else is taking the pimp's cut off their prostitution. And they're and this is what is being bought when you're buying sex. It is an industry of human rights violation.
So on to round three, closing statements by each of the debaters. Speaking first against the motion, Lionel Tiger, anthropology professor at Rutgers University.
We have taken a subset of human behavior which we all disagree with and despise, which is coercive, which is covered by painfully wrought criminal law and so on, and we've turned that into a metaphor and then a description of the common human experience that we all have of men and women, or men and men, or women and women together. Sex is about human evolution, it's about reproduction, it's the most important thing any species has to attend to. All I want to protect here is the notion that sex is not a disease, that sexual interaction is not necessarily an exploitative phenomenon, that it has its own legitimacy, its own agenda, and it will and has continued in much the same way, and a sensible society will try to make it better.
Thank you.
Not to criminalize it.
Thank you, Lionel Tiger. And now summarizing her position for the motion, Wendy Shalit, author of The Good Girl Revolution, Young Rebels with Self-Esteem and High Standards.
Nobody has addressed my point that no one asks the ages of the girls when they pay for sex. And that is the link between the trafficking of children as well. And the devaluing of women and children's innocence that happens in a society that makes sex into a commodity. To validate that and to declare that paying for sex is perfectly fine is to say something about society's relationship to women, and especially girls, that I think would be detrimental, but also to men. We've all read that Times article about sugar daddies, but to me what was so touching is the man who went on the website and he just gave the girl a monthly stipend for her education, and he refused to have sex with her. And this is what the debate is about. It's about who we want to be. And if you think that what the man did didn't matter, that he supported her education without even meeting her, and you think he could have just easily paid for sex, and that would have been the same choice morally, then vote for the negative team. But if you can see the beauty in that choice, then vote for the proposition.
Thank
because
you.
We're not a monkey. Men are not monkeys.
And thank
women,
you, Wendy Shalit.
Women are not chicken. Thank you.
Summarizing against the motion, Tyler Cowen, economics professor at George Mason University.
If you're in any doubt, just consider different parts of the world and where they would line up in this debate. The notion that there are real abuses, but that buying sex is something that we should tolerate, is extremely common in Western Europe. If you look at the debates over prostitution in the country of Iran, you hear exactly, and I mean exactly, the same arguments in Iran that you have heard from the people on the other side of this debate. If you're in any doubt, ask yourself, in which set of societies with which set of attitudes would you rather live? Western Europe, or the kinds of places and cultures where the attitude toward prostitution is that which you find to my right? Think about that, and then please vote accordingly. Thank you.
Thank you, Tyler Cowen. Summarizing her position for the motion, it is wrong to pay for sex, Melissa Farley, a psychologist at Prostitution Research and Education.
I think it's wrong to pay for sex. There's no mutuality of sexual pleasure or any other kind of power in prostitution, where one person has the social, legal, and economic power to buy another person and to use them as a sexualized puppet. By the way, one of the kinds of damages we haven't talked about today is the damage to women's sexuality after being in prostitution for a long time. They usually are not capable of any kind of sexual intimacy that reflects the years of selling that particular act in prostitution. They say that's stolen from them. Maybe the primates we should take a lesson from are the bonobos. When female bonobos are co-dominant, males are less aggressive and females are more sexual. There's a lot of sexuality in bonobo society. Everyone's having sex, but it's used for mutual pleasure. It's used to cement social bonds. And by the way, the first time a male, adolescent male gets sexually aggressive, the female elder bonobos get together and kick his ass. He learns from that one experience that that's not what sex is. So one other comment about legalization of prostitution, it really is a failed experiment. The same numbers of women in legal prostitution in Nevada want to escape it. The same numbers are homeless as in other kinds of prostitution. This institution of prostitution is built on the exploitation and abuse of women. It can't be fixed, only abolished. I'm relentlessly optimistic about men's capacity for change. It's wrong to buy sex.
Thank you, Melissa Farley. Summarizing her position against the motion, the Mayflower Madam, Sydney Biddle Barrows.
Well, people have tried to legislate human nature and morality for centuries, and it's never worked. It is true that it's when it comes to the younger girls, I think it's tragic, and I don't understand why we are not absolutely prosecuting to the fullest extent of the law men who want to have sex with a young girl. I mean, I'm talking really young girls and children. Decent men don't want to do that. And to paint every woman with the same tar brush is not right, because there are a lot of men who pay for sex because they feel, and I'm going to hear the hisses on this one, that it's being respectful. Now, what is more disrespectful or respectful? A man's in a bar. He pours $30, $40 worth of drinks down a girl's throat, says, oh, you know, I'm really feeling something for you. Why don't you come up and see my etchings? So she goes up, she sees his etchings, and he has his way with her because she's so drunk that she can practically say no. And then, oh, yes, oh, sure, I'll call you tomorrow. He never does. She's just been used. But a guy who thinks that a woman is worth it, he calls up and he says, I think that it's worth $500 an hour. I don't think that there's anything. I mean, you have a lot of very honest men out there who pay for it because they believe it's the right thing to do, that it's a fair exchange, and the women should be allowed to take the money. Why not?
Thank you, Sydney Barrows. And our final speaker tonight, summarizing her position for the motion, It's Wrong to Pay for Sex, Catherine McKinnon, professor of law at the University of Michigan.
From the other side, we've heard that paying for sex is old, that it's diverse, that it's natural, although I don't think there are any pimps among chimps, that there's a global grandeur to human sexuality. And the hard issue, I think, for our side is what to do when women aren't paid for anything else. I've recently been working with 13-year-old girls who are the sole support of their families in intergenerational, caste-based prostitution in India. But they are the ones who are saying, not, how can you take this one and only thing away from us that is the only thing that anyone will buy? They are the ones who are saying, give us any real option. Our economic desperation that has put us in this position is not all our lives can be. The other thing that is not being addressed by the other side is the question, why aren't men being sold for sex? Like, by the millions worldwide in the same ways and in the same proportions women are. It seems to me that if being bought and sold for sex is part of the grandeur of human sexuality, that men are really missing out on something here.
Thank you, Catherine McKinnon. So you voted before the debate on whether you agree or disagree with the motion, it is wrong to pay for sex. You have just now voted again. And here we go. Before the debate, 20% of you were for the motion, 50% were against the motion, and 30% were undecided. After the debate, 45% of you are for the motion, 46% are against, and 9% are undecided. The side for the motion wins. Congratulations to all of them, and of course, to the art of persuasion itself. From me, John Donvan, and Intelligence Squared, thank you.
On those winning and losing numbers, we saw some interesting results when we broke the voting down by sex. It seems women in the audience kept a more open mind. Only a quarter of women initially agreed that it was wrong to pay for sex. At the end, it was more than half of them. Men, however, came in voting roughly 2-1 against the motion, and that ended up almost unchanged.
Hear great speeches and interviews at Access Sacramento every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. or go to greatspeechesandinterviews.blogspot.com.
67 years ago, so began the message of a war-weary President Abraham Lincoln, a message written on the back of an envelope on the train on the way to dedicate a battlefield where men from the North and South had died at Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. 47 years ago, our forefathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now, we are engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation, or any nation so conceived and so dedicated, can long endure. We are met on a great battlefield of that war. We have come to dedicate a portion of that field as a final resting place for those who here gave their lives that that nation might live. It is altogether fitting and proper that we should do this. But in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground. For the brave men, living and dead, who struggled here have consecrated it far above our poor power to add or detract. The world will little note nor long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here. It is for us, the living, rather to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they who fought here have thus far so nobly advanced. It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion, that we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, and that this nation, under God, shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, and for the people shall not perish from the earth.
Long, long time ago, we used to get our food homegrown, but now that's just a memory. Used to be we'd shop with ease, never would eat antifreeze. We'd plan to go on living quite a while, but now our goods are all delivered from someplace up the Yangtze River. No one knows the source there, so you might find some horsehair. And if corporations make a buck, then they don't give a flying Peking duck. And with this system we get stuck. Today it makes you sigh, 'cause when you buy an American pie, now your granny didn't bake it, it was made in Shanghai. With the apples engineered to be juicy, not dry, but the crust is made of cardboard and lye. I don't feed it to your dog, he might die. Oh, did you eat a tasty cake, and did it make your stomach ache? I guess I could have told you so. And the reason that you're looking wan is some guy took bribes in Sichuan, and you just ate a little piece of tow. And all those toys you bought from Fisher Price have toxins deemed unsafe for mice, and Elmo tends to wheeze because he's laced with the PCBs. But all my problems seem so far when I hold my new cheap DVR. I'd even chew that gum called guar. It's plain to see that I'll buy stuff for a young guy. I drove a Chevy, but it's heavy and the price is too high. Soon $20 will get you a new car from Shanghai. And honey, that will be the day that we die.
Beanie's a dog who sings for peace until it comes. Her voice will never cease. In this mad world where people kill for land, what's so crazy about a dog who takes a stand?
Like we have a song in our hearts. Let's sing it together. Beanie for Bees.
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 Beanie for Bees. Old dog, she don't want war. She lives life gently. Beanie for Bees.
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 All over the world.
Beanie for Bees.
Beanie for Bees.
Beanie for Bees.
We're gonna kick the town bomb.
And now a holiday message from your friends at the American Civil Liberties Union.
Away with a manger, please hide it from view. Remove the menorah and Kwanzaa stuff too. A suit has been filed by the ACLU. If you should display it, you bet we will sue. If you were PC, then we might be okay. Could Mary be played by an Asian who's gay? We think that this Joseph should be Josephine. Why couldn't the three kings be three Swiss drag queens? And for baby Jesus, we think you should try a differently abled small person who's bi. We've one more request, though you might think it strange. The cattle and sheep simply must be free range. We're not anti-virgin, but this suit you'll lose. We'll file to defend Mary's right to choose. And one day your children will have the Lord's care. 'Cause once you're in heaven, no lawyers live there.
I am a fisherman, so were my parents. Here in Cordova, on Prince William Sound, I'm not a tree hugger, but I love the mountains. And hauling in the gill net with the ocean all around, life was good here. You could raise a family with 100,000 tons of herring set out every year. 1989, the tanker grounded. Nothing has ever been the same around here. Senator Stevens said, not one drop of oil would spill on Alaska's shores, and if it happened, it would be cleaned up. But our beaches were still covered, as was the ocean floor. 4 years passed, each run collapsed. It was then we knew for sure the herring weren't coming back. Exxon's promises of compensation were about as empty as a used up paper sack. It was August 20th, 1993, when we fishermen decided something must be done. We packed some groceries, we made some banners, we headed out to Valdez Narrows beneath the midnight sun. 100 vessels took to the water, pushed through a storm and to the Valdez Sea. We lined up our boats, formed a blockade, and waited for whatever might be. Was approaching. It was a sight to see there in the twilight of the day. We saw it turning. We all cheered and cried as tanker after tanker after tanker turned away. A Coast Guard gunship from Seattle would take 3 days to get up to the Sound. We held the line till then. Then we went back home to Cordova, to this hallowed, oiled ground. I am a fisherman, so were my parents, here in Cordova, on Prince William Sound.
And now for something completely different.